Thank you for this opportunity to share God's word with you. Well, I was invited to speak at this new conference. The other speakers are Dr. Jeffrey Koo and Reverend Quek. So I found it a bit inadequate to be co-speaker with them. So I pray that the Lord will help us as we learn precious lessons from His Word. I was given the liberty to select an Old Testament character to talk about faith. So immediately, Abraham came into my mind. Indeed, Abraham is the model for the Christian faith. And having the faith of Abraham is the way to defend the faith. So I'm glad that the theme is, will we defend the faith? So I pray that at the end of the youth conference, you will say a very confident, yes, we will defend the faith. How we desperately need men and women, boys and girls, to defend the faith today. It is so easy to fall by the wayside into worldliness, into what is more attractive that are found in the world. To follow them is easier than to defend the faith. So I pray that we will learn precious lessons from God's word. Please turn the Bible to Genesis. Genesis chapter 22. So let's read responsively. Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 to 18. Genesis 22, verse 1 to verse 18, responsively. Verse 1. When it came to pass after these things, that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and ran unto the place of which God had told him. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Verse 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham ran and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of its enemy. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy and sacred word. And this chapter brings to us the greatest and the last test of Abraham's faith. So we shall look at Abraham. And you can find that Abraham was one of the key figures, not in the Old Testament, but rather in the New Testament. The New Testament has a lot to say about Abraham. Apostle Paul said that Abraham is the father of all those who believe in him, both of the circumcision and the uncircumcision. You can read that in Romans chapter 4, verses 9 to 12. And then Abraham was also mentioned in the faith chapter. Do you know what is the faith chapter? The chapter that talks about faith. I'm sure you have heard that from either Reverend Quek or Dr. Jeffrey Koo this morning. Anyone can tell me, what is the chapter that talks a whole lot about faith? Yes, I heard Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Okay, at least twice Abraham was mentioned as one who believed that God will fulfill all his promises. And then James said that Abraham was a friend of God. This is found in James chapter 2, verse 23. So we see that the New Testament has a lot to tell about Abraham. But above all, Jesus himself share with the believers of that time something precious about Abraham. You can turn to John chapter 8, verse 56. One statement that stunned the believers at the time, I think in particular to the Pharisees, who thought that they knew Abraham, John chapter 8. Verse 56. Jesus said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." But the Jews at that time thought that they knew who is Abraham, but never did they realize that Jesus had something to reveal to them about Abraham. Anyway, whatever is written before was written for our learning, so that in this life we may have patience, we may have hope and comfort from the Word of God. And indeed, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It is impossible to please Christ and live for Him without faith. So for this reason, the author of the epistle to the Hebrews, in the 11th chapter, if you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, we shall not go into all the details found in this chapter. Hebrews chapter 11, have all the same that were mentioned. Verse 13. All these things died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and was persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. But what is it that they had done? What is it that make them qualify to be written, their name to be written in this chapter? Turn with me to the same chapter in verse 33. Okay, verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in the fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. So they were worthy to be named in this hall of fame. But among all these great men, great saints and martyrs, Abraham shined the brightest. Abraham was called the friend of God. Abraham was called the father of the faithful and the father of all who believe in him, in the Lord Jesus Christ. But this man, although great, he suffered a whole lot of trials in his life. In the beginning, God commanded him to get out of his own country into a land that God will show to him. He doesn't know where he's going. Yet he can only by faith believe in God and follow God. And then at the last, which is the ultimate, most severe and greatest of all his trials, is the offering up of his only son. The son whom we and Sarah have been pining and waiting for such a long, long time. So that will be my meditation for you this afternoon. So we shall meditate on Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 to 18. Verse 1. And it came to pass, after this thing, God did tempt Abraham. By this time Abraham had undergone many trials, with his nephew Lot, encounter with Pharaoh, dealing with Hagar, meeting with the three heavenly guests, pleading with God to spare Sodom and Gomorrah, encounter with Abimelech. And so Abraham has gone through all these troubles and toils of life. But after all these things, verse 1 says, and it came to pass, after these things, all these things that Abraham had experienced, God did tempt Abraham. Isn't this a contradiction? Did not James tell us that God tempts no one? According to James chapter 1, verse 13. Does God tempt someone to sin? Then we must understand that the word here is in no way God is the tempter. The word here, tempt, has the idea of testing, has the idea of trying. And so it is a good tempting. It is a good testing. When a man is tempted, he is drawn away by the lust of his own flesh, of his own heart. So theology will guide the meaning of the word here. God can be said to tempt, but not in an evil sense, but in a good sense. So God sometimes did tempt and try his servant. Remember the Lord's Prayer? When we pray, lead us not into temptation. If we understand God who tempts no one, why should we still want to pray this prayer? Lord, lead us not into temptation. Over here, God did allow us to go through temptation for a special purpose. But when we ask God, Lord, lead us not into temptation, it is to plead with God to deliver us from all these temptations. Of course, we see sometimes God still bring us into temptation for His very special purpose. To try our faith, to try our belief in Him. But over here, God did tempt Abraham. It is for a special purpose. And God was pleased to reveal His will to Abraham at this time. And verse 1 says, God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And Abraham knew it was the voice of God. And he responded to him by saying, Behold, here I am. What a holy familiarity between him and God. At least for those who are united to Christ, for those who know God, who know His Word, will be able to respond like Abraham. Behold, here I am. That is not easy to respond in this manner. If you do not know God, you do not have this intimacy with God. But Abraham has. He is close to God, and therefore is able to respond to God when God called him Abraham. Remember guilty Adam? What did Adam respond when God caught him in the Garden of Eden after he ate the forbidden fruit? Did he come out and meet God? No. He went to hid in some bushes. Why? Because of sin. Because he was not close to God. But we thank God for Abraham. That reminds us that we need to stay close to God and stay far away from sin. Now what does God say to Abraham in verse 2? What does God want from Abraham? Verse 2, and God said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Every word deserves our particular observation. Whatever Abraham was to do, he must do it now and immediately. But what must he do? Take now thy son. Well, that is most difficult. So God said, take the firstling, take the lamb, take the goat. I think it would be much easier. But God said, take now thy son. And not that only. It must not only be a son, but thy only son, Isaac, very specific, whom thou lovest. Why not his son Ishmael? Why not his son Ishmael? Ishmael is not the son of the promise of God. But Isaac was, and moreover, he is the son whom he loved so much. Now without delay, now immediately, offer thy son to the Lord. I think that is most difficult for Abraham to do, to offer his only and only son. Maybe many arguments have been suggested to prove that such a command could never come from God. Or perhaps to find some excuses not to obey this command. Maybe this is not the voice of God. Maybe God will not ask me to do such a thing. You could have think that many things go through the minds of Abraham. But how did Abraham respond? Did he argue? Did he reason with God? Did he ask for a specific purpose? Why God required his son? Verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and saved the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. There's no question. In fact, he is even more diligent in all the preparation. He obeyed God without question. So there's no doubt at all in the mind of Abraham. He just obeyed and he followed. So a lot of times we try to reason with God that this is not a logical thing to do. Maybe this way is not the right way. So we try to reason according to our own understanding, according to our own wisdom. We feel that this is the right way, but not realizing that the way of the Lord is far better than our way. For where reason ends, our faith begins. Abraham could have protested, but he answered not a single word. And that is his faith. The faith in believing in God. And how we need such precious faith today. Then in the second verse, God commanded him to offer up his son upon one of the mountains in the land of Moriah. But God did not specifically tell him where, but he told him that he will eventually reveal unto him, upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. But God perhaps wants to keep him dependent and watching unto prayer, to wait upon God every step of the way. God will reveal to him in due time. So this is also a clue for us. Sometimes when we pray unto God, God will not answer us immediately. God called us to wait upon him. He will reveal to us in due time. Will we by faith wait for God's answer? Abraham knew not directly where to offer his son. But still, he rises up and set forward. He went to the place of which God had told him. Waiting upon the Lord is not just sitting down and do nothing. All of us must work hard, obey the Lord, and allow the Lord to lead us the way he wants us to be. So we must be like Abraham. Though not knowing where to go, yet we move on. We do not have any excuse to laze around. Verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off, the place of which God had told him. It took him 3 days to travel there. But who can tell what the aged Abraham felt during these 3 days? I'm sure he will be weeping over his son. He is very clear of God's command. 3 days, I guess, maybe by the first day, we will just give up. We will pack up and go back. But no, 3 days is a real test for Abraham's faith. Perhaps we see Abraham and Isaac walking closely side by side. And Abraham, perhaps, has all his last words to say to Isaac. What will you do if God were to ask you to give up something that is precious? It may be your loved ones or the thing that you love so much. Will you be able to give that to God? Verse 6. We've done a bit. Verse 6. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they ran, both of them, together. Very little did Isaac think that he was to be offered on that very wood that was on his very shoulders. And therefore Isaac innocently, he spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. Isaac said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Well, such a young child, Isaac, I think it would bring gladness to parents for children to ask questions about God and spiritual things. Have you ever asked about spiritual things? Isaac knew very well that something is missing. He has the wood, he has the fire to be ready, but where is the lamb? For the lamb was necessary for a complete and proper sacrifice. Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? So it's clear from here Isaac is not clear of his father's intentions. He doesn't know what his father is going to do. But I believe that what his father has said answered his question. But now was the time Abraham revealed it unto him. Verse 8. And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And what happened at the end? In verse 8, And Abraham said, My God, and my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they ran both of them together. And they came to a place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now that is the final message to Isaac, that thou art to be the lamb, my son. I'm sure by this time Abraham with his eyes all tears, and to the utmost affection of his heart, ready to plunge the knife down upon his son. The fatal blow is going to be given. But before Abraham was able to strike at his own son, verse 11, the angel of the Lord called unto him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now know I that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. Abraham was pushed to his limit. But what happened? Abraham passed the test. And that rendered him worthy of that title, the father of the faithful. Let me share with you this story. Perhaps some of you have heard this story before. There was this little girl. One day, when she and her mother were shopping at a departmental store, she saw a beautiful crystal necklace, costing about $50. And this little girl wanted that crystal necklace. So she asked her mother to buy it for her. And the mother said, "Well, it is a pretty necklace, but it's quite expensive." So, "Okay, I will buy it for you, but we have to make a deal. If I buy this necklace for you, you have to do something for me in return." So the little girl agreed, and the mother bought the necklace for her. And they both agreed that the money could be repaid by doing some housework. So the little girl helped her mother do all the housework and to fulfill it. So eventually, she was still very satisfied because she worked hard for the necklace. And then this little girl had a very loving father. Whenever she goes to bed, the father would read her favorite story. So one night after he finished the story, the father asked the daughter, "Do you love daddy?" Of course, the girl replied, "Yes, you know I love you." But then the father requests something which the girl did not expect. So the father said, "If you love me, give me your necklace." Then the girl tried to give excuse. "Maybe not my necklace, maybe my favorite horse, my favorite doll, but not my necklace." But the father told her, "Okay, that's alright. Just go to sleep." About a week later, the father asked the little girl again, after telling her the story, "Do you love daddy?" "Oh yes," the girl replied. "Give me your necklace if you love me." Again, the girl has other excuses. "Oh, maybe I will do something for you. Or maybe I will get a cup of tea for you, but not my necklace." Again, the father said no. "Okay, oh, it's all right," and he left. But several days later, when the father came in again to tell the story to her, and this time the little girl offered the necklace to the father. And she put it into her father's hand. So with one hand, the father held on to the necklace. But then on the other hand, he took out from his pocket another box, which contained a diamond necklace, far more precious than this crystal necklace. Well, he was waiting for the little girl to give up that cheap necklace, so that he could give her the best thing. But this story also illustrates our relationship with God. God is also waiting for us to give up the thing that is most precious in our heart. He wants us to give up the cheap things in our lives, so that he can give us the best and the beautiful treasure. Are you holding on to something which you are not willing to let go? The Bible says, "For what shall it profit a man who shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Sometimes it is so hard to see what is on the other hand. But it is only when we let go, we will truly appreciate the thing that God is going to give us in due time. So that's why we need faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, we can never come to God. So with faith, Abraham obeyed God to the end, even though Isaac was his only son. But he was willing to sacrifice his son in obedience to God. So he loved God more than loving his only son. how about your love for God? Is your love strong for the Lord? All of us are fallen creatures. We do not love God as we ought to. But God loves us. He offered us His only begotten Son. And that is how much He loves us. We know that Abraham did not get to sacrifice Isaac. But Jesus was sacrificed for you and I. God did not stop Jesus from going to the cross. God allowed the Lord Jesus to suffer, to die, to be slain for you and I. Then may we cry out unto Him, to God, for His mercy, for His grace, for His love. He did not withhold His Son from being slain, from being our sacrifice. And that is how much God loves us. In order to give you the faith that you and I need in this last of the last days. The same faith that Abraham has. The faith that carried him through. The faith that keeps him going. We need the same faith in time like this. Will you not weep for your wickedness, your sin, that has sent the Lord Jesus to the cross? Behold the blessed Jesus, our all-glorious Emmanuel, was healed on the cross of Calvary. And how He bowed His head, how He gave us His broken body to be sacrificed. Isaac is spared, but Jesus was not spared. Now the kind of belief is very different from what the devils believe. The devils also believe in God, but that does not save them. We also believe in God. But what kind of a belief do you have? Is your belief by faith? Is your belief a genuine faith? Do you believe Jesus died for you and saved you from all your sins? Abraham did, for he saw and was glad. He truly believed in the Messiah that God has promised to him. Listen to this great preacher of the past who said about faith. Faith is the eye by which we look to Jesus. Whether it is a dim-sighted eye or a weeping eye, a sad eye, it is still an eye looking at Jesus. Faith is a hand in which we hold unto Jesus. Whether it is a trembling hand or there is a weakling hand, a hand that is weak, it is still a hand holding unto Jesus. And faith is a tongue by which we taste how good and how sweet the Lord Jesus is. Whether it is a sore tongue or a burnt tongue, it is still a tongue to taste the goodness of God. Faith is a foot by which we walk to Jesus. Whether it is a lame foot or smelly foot, it is still the foot walking to Jesus. So faith is believing God can, and much more. Faith is believing God will. God will take good care of us if we believe in Him. God will save us if we go to Jesus by faith. Do you believe that? We have a great deal to learn from Abraham. We have faith in God. And you might think that Abraham is different from all of us. But no, he is just like any one of us. He told white lies, he distorted the truth like many of us does. And sometimes we feel so weak and useless. We wavered at little things, at our faith, at our belief in God. So Abraham is no different from us. Can we have the faith like Abraham? The answer is yes. If only we would trust and believe in God with all our heart, soul and mind. The step of faith requires all of us to obey God in His word, to walk perfectly before God, to study His word, to know God, to make Him known, to obey Him in all His commandments, to live a holy life before Him. Remember, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So the faith of Abraham is that faith that we need in such time that we may defend the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the faith of Abraham. We thank Thee, Lord, that he has passed the test of faith, and now he is called the father of the faithful. And Lord, we thank Thee that Abraham is no different from us, sinful, depraved, and sinners like all of us. And because of this wonderful truth, we know that Thou will give us the faith like Abraham, to believe in Thee, to give Thee the best of what we possess in our life. Lord, we pray that Thou will increase our faith to be like Abraham, even to the extent of sacrificing His one and only son, Isaac. Lord, there are many Isaacs in our life. Help us, O Lord, to give them unto Thee, and to allow Thee to be the center of our life, to control our lives, to help us to live a holy life before Thee, a life of obedience, a life of faith in this last of the last days. And help us, O Lord, to defend the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, that we might bring glory to the only wise God, the Father of our souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.